Hello and welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. It is the bye week for the Virginia Cavaliers as they are off to a 9-2 start this year. I guess it's not really a start anymore. We're deep into the season now, heading into this final bye week, tied atop the ACC standings. I got today, he's a national champion. He's also, I don't know if you knew this, you're one of three players in the country this season with four sacks, three forced fumbles, and an interception this season. I know we'll talk about that interception in a little bit, but I got UVA defensive end Mitchell Melton joining me here. How's the bye week going so far, Mitchell?
It's been going great. I thank you for having me on here. I heard a lot of great things about the show. Glad to be here. Bye week's been great. Like I said off camera, I've been attacking my rest and recovery as aggressively as possible. But it's been good. Definitely needed this bye week. I think it was one of the more perfectly timed bye weeks we've had. It's been great, and we're ready for to finish the season on a strong note.
You put it like aggressively sleep. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I aggressively run into my bed and I punch my pillows and I yell at my covers to get myself ready to go to sleep. Just being very proactive as best I can, especially with sleep, because it definitely helps in the long run for sure.
Do you have like any hobbies, or are there time for hobbies in life right now?
It's a great question. There's more time than you would think, but at the same time, there isn't, if that makes sense. It's hard because I'm trying to get my master's in higher education. So like that's one of my main hobbies right now is doing my schoolwork, which kind of sucks. But yeah, I think being with the guys outside of the facility is one of the main things we try to do, whether that be like we just had dinner for Goldie's Jacob Holmes' birthday was yesterday. So we got some dinner. So just like fellowshipping like that, going to see movies. And when it was warmer outside, we'd go golfing and things like that. So just finding like little slots of time whenever we could to do stuff.
There you go. You got a good golf game. You're not challenging Chandler out there.
Yeah, no. I'm ways away from those guys, but I'm working on it. And I definitely like found a love for it over the summer. So it helped to be motivated, even though I wasn't the best, you know what I'm saying? So it was good.
Yeah, I would like to play more than I have, but y'all are keeping me busy, man. Just the way the season has gone. I wanted to start real quick. I know you're local, kind of the DMV area. Silver Spring. When I hear that name, I think of a couple guys, but I'm going to throw some Silver Spring, I guess, guy people from Silver Spring. See if you know all of them. Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh Hart.
Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Basketball player. Yeah. I'm very familiar.
Now, how about this? Roger Mason Jr.
Is he a hooper?
Yeah. He played at UVA. That's why I bring the name up.
Yeah. It sounds familiar. I don't know. I think he went to my high school. I don't know what high school he went to, but I don't want to be wrong on this, but I think the name sounds familiar because he might have went to my high school. And if he's not, I apologize. But, and it's crazy. Dave Chappelle, I don't know he's from Silver Spring, but his like family lives in Springfield or something like that, Ohio. And my grandpa's out there. He's like in Cedarville, like 15 minutes
That's
away. So,
right. Yeah.
yeah. When sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
No, I was just gonna say you were right. Roger Mason did go to good counsel.
Yes.
So
yeah, he had like a poster in our like right in front of our basketball court. He's like a legend out there. So
yeah, there you go. And the last one is just this is the one that comes immediately to mind because he only played at UVA a couple years ago is Charles Snowden. Did y'all ever come across cross paths up there?
I feel like he like because I think he went to Avalon. When his coach Coach Tyree Spinner, he was like my coach for 7-on-7. So he came to like to talk to us as like a group, but I never had like a 1-on-1 conversation. But he's definitely balling in the league. So I gotta
Yeah.
get in touch with him for sure.
Out there are the Raiders now. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into kind of this defense right now because kind of we got like a, you know, first five games of the season, y'all are still trying to come together. You know, it's a lot of transfers coming in. And I think, you know, I just talked about this with Ahmad Hawkins on another episode of the podcast of just like, the secondary was some of the last people to get there. So it took a little bit of time for them to get on the same page in communication. But y'all are, I mean, rolling now. You've held teams under 400 yards and 30 points since that Florida State game. They've only given up 30 plus points twice this year and held the last or six opponents this year under 100 yards rushing. You're second in the ACC, 15th nationally in sacks. What is it about this defense that has flipped a page this season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we try to embody is resilience, understanding what we could be and the talent that we have. But it's more than that. It's more about the discipline in which we play week in and week out. And I think that's definitely been showing up more and more, and it's been showing up more in the success we have. But I think it starts with our leaders, with like John Mercarter and James Jackson and Antonio Clary. Like Those guys have kind of made it very clear what the expectation of this defense can be and should be. So just upholding that standard practice and each day and each game has really been like the focus for us. I think it's shown dividends for sure.
You talk about those leaders, but obviously you come into this with a tremendous amount of experience playing at a place like Ohio State. How do you kind of blend that with the guys that have been here?
Yeah, I think we just we come together understanding what our commonly shared goal is as a team, understanding that we want to be great, we want to go to the ACC championship, but we know it starts week in and week out. So just having a commonly shared voice along with our commonly shared goals is probably the biggest thing that I've found. And for me, I've always liked to say that this team is, and especially this defense, is willing to learn as well as willing to lead. So a lot of guys have assumed roles that maybe they weren't always, as excited to take on, but still understanding it's the best for the team. So just that like selflessness and that humility has gone a long way, especially for me as well. I understand where I came from and the team I came from and the things that we did, but that doesn't mean anything because I have to still prove myself day in and day out and when the work that I put in. So letting that be the catalyst for everything I'm doing, definitely like the biggest thing for sure.
When you look at, I assume you're in the defensive line room right now.
Yes.
Look at
Fancy.
kind of this group that you've got together. There you go. You've got like 10 guys rotating in right now. It's a massive amount of guys. Early in the season, I think everyone was kind of like, whoa, what are they doing? Like they're subbing out like every play. How has that kind of, I guess, evened out as y'all gone through the season? And how has that rotation gone?
It's just understanding our personnel and understanding the strengths that our D-line has. And I think one of the biggest strengths we have is our depth. A lot of guys can do a lot of great things at a lot of great times, especially when needed. So I just, and I shout out the coaches, especially Coach Downing, Coach Slade, Coach Butler, Coach Moore, and Coach Rudd, just understanding putting us in the right position to be in the right place at the right time and to make those plays that we know we were destined to make in a way. And so I really just give the credit to them. But it did take, I think, a little bit of time to understanding how the game would work in terms of rotation and understanding like there's going to be certain situations where this package or this, for this personnel is needed. So just, knowing the game plan and really studying it week in and week out has been the biggest thing.
You're on that third down kind of, I don't know what y'all call it. Do y'all have a name for it?
Why can't I remember? Oh, speed.
Speed?
That's
Okay.
better.
It's like a wrecking crew. Just you got those four guys coming out there. It's yourself, Daniel Rickert, Goldie, as you called him earlier, Jacob Holmes, Blake Kazim Moore, the other one. How is that group just kind of bonded together as y'all kind of go through the season? Because y'all are out there in some of the most crucial times in the game.
It's just like I said before, just understanding the role. We want to get really the fastest and best pass rushers on the field at that time. But like I said, a lot of the guys, I think like you could interchange me for Fisher, you could interchange Kazim for Jason Hammond. Like there's so many guys you could rotate in that speed package itself. But just knowing that that's like destined to get after the quarterback and knowing that they're going to, and the coaches create a great game plan together just so that we can be in the right position at the right time, like I said. So just understanding like the point in which we're doing it and knowing that we're out there for a reason, and when they call third down, like a lot of us get excited because we know like it's a time for us to really showcase our ability pass rushing the passer. So it's really fun.
Is it weird, like sometimes you come off the field before it's third down, you're kind of just waiting to get back out there and have that
Well,
opportunity?
yeah, luckily enough, I got Daniel Ricker behind me. So he's a hell of a player. So a lot of the times he can start the drive, and I just like get ready and excited to get out there on third down. So just having that, like I said again, with that depth on the defensive line is really paying dividends and doing a lot of great things for us for sure.
Since you're sitting in the room, talk about some of these personalities that you got in this room, because it's a lot of guys coming from different places. We all know Jason Hammond. He's got some fingers that he can go on Twitter and type some stuff out, and he gets he's a good recruiter and everything. Jameer Carter's, he's kind of the old head in the room. Like, walk me through the personalities here.
Yeah, I think they're a wide variety and a lot of different personalities, which is beautiful for a D-line room, in my opinion. I think we got a lot of loud personalities and a lot of quiet personalities. So they like I wouldn't say they clash, but they mesh very well together. But I think those times in this in the winter and spring, excuse me, especially in that training phase that we had, is it was where those personalities really came out into the forefront, and we understood who the guys were and who they wanted to be and their work ethic. And I think it's really a blessing to be on a team with so many great guys and so many great personalities. It's really easy just to fight, with everything I have and lay it on the line for my brothers. So it's weird. I wouldn't say weird like in a bad way, but it's very intriguing, day by day to see these different personalities and how they interact as we go on.
Who's someone that maybe doesn't get a lot of shine? Because I mean, like we talked about Rickard, 5.5 sacks this year, yourself and K-Mac now up there in the sack totals. Who's someone that doesn't get talked a lot about that's really kind of impressed you this year?
I'd say all the guys that you didn't mention probably deserve to be talked about, but I think for me, Kazim Moore is like a name that immediately came to mind because he probably, in his mind, had an idea of what he wanted the season to be for him. And even with like the expectations might may not possibly being met, he still produced at an extremely high level. And I've always told him he's like one of the more valuable players on this team because we need him. And the way in which he plays football is amazing to watch for me. And we always have very technical conversations about things like that, about like what we can do better on this rush and what he saw, what I saw. So just having that perspective from another like professional guy like him, or a guy who acts in a professional manner like him, has been very, very helpful. And I also like to shout out Billy Kadelka, just a guy who's a violent man for sure. But he again always likes to put his head down and just work and grind. And I know I'm going to get the best from him every time. So it's really just having that trust from those guys in the field has carried us a long way.
I always got time for my Elon guys. I'm an Elon alum myself, so Kevin
Okay.
Kazim, I like seeing some of these, Elon to Virginia pipeline.
Right.
Kadelka though, like to already be 6'8", 250, whatever is one thing, but I tell you, like going back to last year, like that guy tries harder than anyone else I see on the field. Like he is going after it every rep he gets out there.
Yeah, his mentality is second to none. I think on the field, it's a different person, and I've never seen someone so big be so violent. Like you said, he is just always looking to like hurt people, and he always uses his head to do it, which I'm always like, you're 6'8", man, use your hands. But no, he's just like he's got like one of those crazy motors that you see from a guy who might be undersized, but he's not, you know what I'm saying? So
Yeah.
it's a beautiful blend, and it shows with his play because he's a great player, like I've said. So it's cool to watch for sure.
I'm going to give you a chance right here. Obviously, y'all played the majority of last week against Duke without Cam Robinson, but obviously, he's had an incredible season. So make the case for your teammate here, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. I know the ballots are out and people are going to start casting their vote. What's the case
Yeah.
for Cam Robinson?
The case is really the film says it for itself. I think the way in which he's played week in and week out has been. I heard about Cam Robinson when I came here, and I heard about like the legend of him and what he is as a player, but then to see it is just like a whole nother thing. And I don't know if I've seen anyone else play at this high level, especially in our conference. And he's missed 3 games, and he's still probably leading the team in tackles, probably behind like Devin Neal or somebody. But he's been a force, literally a force. And him and James Jackson give me nothing but confidence that the back end is going to be well aligned, right where they're supposed to be every time. Communication is going to be lit. Like the way in which him and James Jackson communicate gives me so much confidence for myself, where I can just pin my ears back and go get the quarterback, or just go like set the edge, whatever the case may be. So I think it'd be I'd be remiss if I didn't comment on how, I wouldn't say different, but like fully formed our defense looked the moment Cam Robinson stepped on the field. He's definitely a game changer. And I don't have to say it. The stats say it for himself and themselves. So I think if there were ever a vote or a reason to vote Cam Robinson, I'd say first look at the tape.
I listed all the stats off for you earlier. I don't think there is another one that's had a game-winning safety, two pick sixes, the sacks, and all the other plays that he's had this year. And like you said, a limited amount of time because he's only played, I mean, really 8 full games.
Right.
If you don't count Duke. Let's talk a little bit about you more though. Transferring obviously from Ohio State to Virginia. Obviously, you've talked at length about kind of the recruiting process during that whole national championship run, but I want to get into what really stood out to you. What was the thing in the recruiting process that really hooked you on to what kind of Virginia offered?
I think it was just the way in which the coaches, conducted the conversation. It wasn't even more so like about me, but like about their some themselves and the school and who they were. And I was very cognizant in asking them like, what are their core values? And they were very, like I've always said, very transparent about it all, especially like the season they had and the ways in which they missed the expectations and goals that they've had. Again, like the transparency in which we like had those conversations was something I really haven't had in college recruiting. And I don't think that's happening in college recruiting as much as maybe we'd like it to be. So it was like I was like, wow, like this is a change of pace. You know what I'm saying? And it made me think like this is the relationship I wanted for my future, especially in football. And I think it's married up beautifully. And I can't say I'm nothing but grateful for this opportunity to be with the school for sure.
Because like you're having to compartmentalize so much of like going between the transfer stuff and actually preparing to go compete for a national championship,
Right.
did you feel like you enjoyed that kind of moment? Like, because that doesn't happen very often for a guy to be able to compete for a championship.
Like enjoyed the moment of being in the play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think yeah, it was kind of hard like playing both sides, understanding I'm trying to solidify my future while also like solidifying my present being with that team. But I understood like that time with them was coming to an end. So I was very grateful, and I was took some time to be very thoughtful and introspective about the time in which I spent at Ohio State. And even during the process of me like looking for another school, I was still like, I'd come off the field and I'd be like, wow, like this is might be one of the last times I'm here at this practice facility, you know? So it was very it didn't distract me from as much as I thought. It kind of emphasized the fact that I'm not going to be here much longer, and just took me time to like reflect on my time there and how beautiful that journey was and how it made me to the man I am today. So I think it gave me an opportunity to give thanks, even though I was getting off of Zoom calls with Coach Elliott and staff after Tuesday practice. It's still I like because I was roommates with Cody Simon at the time, so I literally would get off a Zoom call and just go talk to him about our time at Ohio State, and it was very wholesome and emotional. So I was very grateful for it for sure.
Did you get the ring?
Yes, it's at my parents. Oh, I shouldn't say where it is. Yes, I have the ring. Yes, I do.
Okay, but you don't wear, you don't
No,
have it on you.
I do not.
Yeah.
If I could show you, I would, but I don't have it because we got three rings, one for the Rose Bowl, one for the Cotton Bowl, and then one for the championship. So.
That's a lot.
It came in like this cool little box too. It was awesome.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. There was a story that came out recently, I guess it was like a book or something about I know you know where this is going. There was a meeting, a team meeting with Ryan Day. Walk me through the story because
Okay.
you know what I'm talking about.
yeah. Okay. So we unfortunately lose to the team up north, or yeah, team up north. And it was devastating. And the day after that Sunday, we had a senior meeting, and basically guys were trying to like boost morale, and just like pick everyone up. And Jack Sawyer was like the main vocal, or he was the main guy saying like, you know, we still have a chance to win everything we want to. And me, I was more so just really, really hurt because like my time there was it didn't feel wasted, but we had not accomplished the things we wanted to. So from there, I was left just like confused. And when I'm confused, normally I like to ask questions. So that next day we had a team meeting, and we had a team meeting, and Coach Day was in the meeting. It was a players only meeting, so I know that I had the opportunity to ask him a question. So I thought it would be best if I it was like so for so the way it was set up, Emeka got up there. He was like, yeah, so we're just gonna have this meeting to like talk it out as a team. Any qualms or anything that we have, you know, to say about each other, we like to get it out now so we can move forward and achieve all the goals we can. And then Jack was like, yeah, I know we could be a national championship. We could still be a national championship team. We just have to come together and let this fuel us and not break us. And then they're like, does anybody have any questions? And I shot my hand up and I was like, yeah, I got a question. And I directed it at Coach Jay. I was like, so I just basically know, like, after these 4 years, like, what did you learn? And I was really like curious. I was curious to know, like what did he take from this these years of losing? And I didn't mean it like in a I didn't try to like instigate or antagonize in
Sure.
any way. I was more so just like I said, very just curious. And he, you know, answered it technically, and he was very respectful towards that question, even though it kind of did seem like I was not attacking him, but like calling him out. But I think the way he handled that question and the way he handled the whole season with everything that happened is something I give him all the praise for, because it's not easy, especially him being the head coach and being like the face of the program. It's a lot of pressure. So yeah, we had that conversation. He told me all the things that were going through his head throughout the game, and we had another conversation thereafter, but that was basically it.
I asked that question because now y'all have this bye week, but coming up, you have your rivalry game now against Virginia Tech. And obviously, You all have a lot on the line with ACC championship game hopes and everything, and all these tiebreakers that are going around. But it seems like Coach Elliott has really kind of focused y'all on the state championship, winning the Commonwealth Clash against Virginia Tech. How much do you know about the rivalry? And at the same time, how important are these rivalry games?
They're everything. I think that's always got to be stated, especially with the game like this. And then I recently learned that they have won 19 out of the last 20 meetings, which is appalling if there ever is a word to describe that. But it's like one of those things where like nothing else in the season matters except this game, so it has to be treated as such. So we're doing everything we can to prepare and to put our best foot forward for sure. We understand that Virginia Tech's a great opponent, and nothing that they've done in the past is going to happen in this game. It's going to be like literally its own season in itself. The way that we're preparing, we know that they're preparing as well. But I'm really excited for it. I've always like as a kid locally, I'd watch Virginia Tech and Virginia games, and like the atmosphere always seemed like crazy to me because it's like another awesome rivalry game, and like that weekend of games where all the rivalry teams play together is just like a great moment. And I'm glad to be a part of it for sure.
Because obviously Ohio State last year, y'all go on to win the national championship, but I'm sure it still hurt that
Yeah.
y'all lost
It's like
that
that.
game.
Yeah, it's like that question, like, would you rather beat your rival or be a national champion? And a lot of the guys on the team would probably say beat your rival, especially like with the time that we had there. That game was just as important as this game is now. If that makes sense, it's everything. And we know that we've come short a lot, but we're just really excited for the opportunity for sure.
All right, Mitchell, I'm going to get you out of here on this one. Just when did you think that this UVA team had a chance to be special and compete for this? Where you're at right now?
The moment I signed with them, just believing in what Coach Elliott and Coach Slade and the whole staff really expressed to me, it was hard not to believe. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I wouldn't be here if I didn't, wouldn't have committed if I didn't. But then, especially, I think, coming here and seeing the guys, getting to know the guys on a deeper and more personal level, I realized like we definitely have a shot. But we understood that it has to be by week, and we can't, get too big or get too high, get too low, just continue to play. Our game and our brand of football. And take it week by week, because we can't achieve anything or any of our goals if we don't first take it by the game that we have this week or, the game that we had the whatever week it was. So just sharpening that mentality and understanding that. But I think how receptive the guys were to that mentality and to that process was really what made me encouraged to, work with the team and understand that we have a chance to be really great and go do great things.
All right, Mitchell, I'm going to get you out of here on that. Appreciate you coming on. Aggressively attack that rest during the bye week, and we'll see you for Rivalry Week coming up next week, man. It'll be a
Sounds
good
good.
one.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man, for having me.
All right, that'll do it for the Who's On podcast. Thanks for tuning in on YouTube, Apple, Spotify. You know where to find us, and we will see y'all next week.